Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
5. Oh, turn my mic on. Just trying to tell you something, Sean. Just trying to tell you what cuts that we're going to play in this segment. It's my bad.
I just saw you talking and didn't hear you and thought that you forgot to turn on the mic.
No, I would never do that. Not Granato.
Yeah?
Not Sean Pendergast.
I mean...
Who I love! I mean, both of them.
Spencer had already finished throwing to you, and that's why I was like, oh, segment is starting.
I didn't
think, oh, this is the between segment time.
Sean, I'm a hardworking man. I turn my own microphone on. That's what separates me. And you know what? Maybe that's why I'm not in prime time, because I... do turn on my microphone.
Yeah, you do the grunt work.
Maybe if I didn't turn my microphone on, I'd be back. I'd be back where I belong. But hey, it's fine. I'm not bitter about it at all. Hey guys, it's football time in Houston, and we're ready to play on Sunday, baby. You know why? Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming to town. It's a big game. Bucs are 3-4. Respectable with Baker Mayfield under center. That's been surprising. Defense, some of the same pieces that we've seen the last couple of years. Certainly a challenge for the Houston Texans. Here's what Bobby Slowick had to say about the defense that Todd Bowles, head coach of the Buccaneers, runs.
You know, I feel like I've gone against Todd Bowles now. This will be the third or fourth time since I've been an offensive coach in charge of game planning, and he's definitely one of the tougher play callers to go against. You know, and it's everything you hit on. Everybody has a blitz. Everybody has a pressure. There's four-man rush. There's three-man rush. There's multiple looks in the run game. Like, there's just a lot that he does.
That doesn't make me feel great about the Texans offense finally figuring it out on Sunday. But that is a demand I am making. If this city is ever going to care about this team again, the offense, you can't make excuses for it for a month straight. The offense has to actually do something. You've had time to adjust. And I think it was a bit premature for Laremy Tunsil and for others who have watched this team to say that Bobby Slowick is some sort of mastermind or genius because Stroud has come into the NFL and been very good to open up his career. I think it was unfair expectations to put on Slowick. He is also a first-year offensive coordinator. But at the same time, when there's a drought for a month, good offensive coordinators that are worth keeping around for a while, they're supposed to figure out what's wrong. And you've had multiple games now. The Falcons game, the Saints game, and now the Panthers game. And we're not talking about games against elite teams. We're talking about, at best, middle-of-the-road teams that play in the NFC South. The Bucs are another one of those teams. Pretty crazy you're playing all four NFC South teams in a row. But if the offense can't going this week, like, do you ever feel like it will with Bobby Slowick? And obviously, a bit of a hyperbolistic question given that this is a 17-game season and we're only talking about the eighth game of the year for the Texans. But 8 games in, you should have a pretty good indicator of what this team can be. And the offense, I get that there's limitations because of the offensive line, because of the receivers, but it's been the same stuff for a couple of weeks in a row that has been completely owning them. Drop a bunch of guys back in coverage, make CJ Stroud think they can't beat us by running the football. And to make that feel even worse, Slowick at his press conference yesterday said that he feels the Texans coaching staff has handled in-game adjustments really well.
I would say as a staff, we've done that really well. You know, it happens in every game where you come out and at some point, even if you get a defensive structure that you put a play in for, you really like, whether it's a run or a pass. You know, maybe the backside four eyes just playing different than he had been on tape previously, and that can completely scrap two or three plays. You know, like, they're not as good now. This is too tough on a combination of, like, we're in constant communication after every series with the players, with the coaches. Really, everybody gets on the same page pretty quick down there as far as what we want to do, where we want to attack, and how we want to adjust.
Yeah, I don't agree. You know, to summarize that quote, he thinks they've been handling the in-game adjustments well. He said that at the beginning of the quote. I don't agree. Because guess what we would be seeing if they were handling the in-game adjustments well? We'd see points later in the game or before the end of the game. Falcons game, it took them until the last drive of the game to get a touchdown drive together. You had a touchdown drive early against the Panthers. But, I mean, down the stretch, what were you doing when the defense was giving you stop after stop after stop? So, I'm not saying fire Bobby Slowick, but I am saying, yo, it's been a month. If you want anyone to take you seriously, and yeah, I mean the casuals in this town, if you want people to take you seriously as a team again, something's got to change. I'd also say this. Will Anderson, I need a sack. That's another demand that I have for Sunday. I need a sack. I know it's not fair. Sacks are a weird statistic. I still need a sack. I just need something to shut people up. I think Jeremy Branham is right. I think what he has been saying about Will Anderson and about how we bring up all these advanced statistics, it's almost like a defense mechanism. At this moment in time, when you're looking for numbers that a lot of people don't understand to try and support your argument, you are fishing. You are fishing for support. And okay, you're creative in your way to find said support, but sometimes things are extremely simple. Not everything is an AP literature report. One of the things I used to hate when I was back in specifically high school is you'd read these books, and the books were dated. And you were supposed to determine what the theme of the book was. And okay, some authors maybe did have a theme that was hidden in it. I think a lot of others didn't. And we were acting like they did. I think some of them just wrote entertaining reads. And that's why that they held up over time.
They're just good stories.
Right. And the other interesting thing is, too, while we're talking about reading books.
Oh, yeah. On a football Friday.
On a football Friday, I know. On
talking
a football
about
Friday.
English lit.
This is where the Texans are, man. This is where the Texans are. I won't go down that rabbit hole. Thank you for saving me, Sean. I don't think anyone would rather listen to paint dry than hear me talk about that.
Here's another thing about literature.
But
no,
sometimes
no, no,
the...
No.
I'm just trying to say. Sometimes it's literally as simple as this is just the plot of a story. It's literally just as simple as he hasn't gotten a sack yet. You know? 75 truth comments. Virgins. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. No, I think it's just one. I think it's just me right now. I think it is just me talking about the books. Oh, man. I know that they are capable of actually winning on Sunday. Yet again, you can't say that they should win any game until they actually prove that they can win the games that they're supposed to win. And against a Buccaneers defense that actually has talent, I have my doubts that the offense is going to finally figure out what's been plaguing it for the course of the last month. No Damian Pierce, it sounds like. He's got an ankle injury. Some might argue that's an upgrade. I don't know. I feel like you want to have as many good players as you possibly can. I think Slowick said that Devin Singletary is one of the best players on the team. That doesn't make me feel great. And then against Devin Singletary, that doesn't make me feel great, though.
He's been good, but yeah, I don't know about one of the best on the team.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the best on the team, what would that be? C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, Laremy Tunsil, probably a linebacker, Blake Cashman. Maybe you put Denzel Perriman in there. Jonathan Grenard.
Well,
Grenard's got six sacks.
Will Anderson... because of how good Jonathan Grenard is.
You know what? Fair point.
All of Jonathan Grenard's credit goes to
William. It is crazy we're not talking about Grenard more. He has 6 sacks. It's been 7 games. That's pretty good. That's on pace for 15+. That's really good.
I remember when he was like the only good Texan.
He's having a great year. Yeah, I think lost in the shuffle of like Will Anderson needs more sacks. Grenard's been great.
Grenard's been
great. So yeah, Grenard's got to be one of the best Texans on the team. Jalen Petrie probably.
Yeah, Ward.
I would say Kyahmi Fairburn, but the Texans like forget that he can kick 61-yard field goals.
Tavier Thomas for delaying the end of the game.
Yeah, that was awesome, actually. I kind of like that. Screw it. You have nothing to lose.
Eventually, what if they don't call it?
Great point.
What if they just don't call it?
I think that
it's the Seattle Seahawks defense.
I think if you do it enough, they do have to give you points. And you know how I learned this? I'm not even kidding. From Quarterback Club 1997, which was a football video game for the MS-DOS system that I played on my Windows 95 computer.
Nerd.
Yeah, well, you know what I used to do? I used to cheat. I used to play as the computer so that I would win every single game. I know. This is before I understood that it's actually fun to play against things that are challenging you. And what I used to do was I would have the other team just go off sides every single play, and eventually they'd give you a touchdown. There was too many penalties in a row, unsportsmanlike conduct, we're going to give you a touchdown rule of some sort. I don't know what the limit was, but it was I think 10 in a row or something like that. Look it up. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You probably don't want to watch Texans and Buccaneers. There's actually a lot of good football games this weekend. Finally. We'll pick the 6 best ones. We will probably incorrectly pick them against the spread. But you can pick against the spread yourself at mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975, and guess what? Up to $1,000, they will match your first deposit bonus. Did you know, guys, that the Texans are actually favored on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That is surprising. Texans are 3-point favorites as a 3-4 team. I suppose that's because they're at home still. Just weird to me to see them as a straight-up favorite. Other games that you could pick from at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. There's Chiefs and Dolphins, the Chiefs 2-point favorites in Frankfurt. There's Eagles and Cowboys, Eagles 3-point favorites. I'm not really feeling that one because Dak Prescott, when he actually starts for the Cowboys against the Eagles, the Cowboys actually do pretty well. I don't know that that's a lock. There's the Bills and Bengals, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Here's the one that I like. Seahawks at Ravens. The Ravens are 6-point favorites. As someone who has a little bit of familiarity with the Seahawks, I feel like the Ravens are going to win this. The Seahawks defense has some good pieces. This is probably going to be a shootout, though. And I trust Lamar Jackson over Geno Smith in a shootout. So I'm going to take the Ravens by 6. You can sign up mybookie.ag, promo code BET975 to match a massive deposit bonus and use it immediately today.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable!
He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant is going to pick 6 games.
There's 6.
Pick 6!
Wow, that's got pick 6 written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Who cares if we get them right? We're just telling you the games you need to watch. 11 o'clock tomorrow. This is a good game. A game that I imagine stresses Sean Mapes out, given what happened last year. Number 23, Kansas State, heads to Austin to take on the 7th-ranked Texas Longhorns, who are still without Quinn Ewers. Texas 4-point favorites. Sean, how you doing, buddy? Where are you at? How's our resident horn?
This one's not going to be fun, no matter what.
Where does Kansas State rank among teams that make you uncomfortable in the Big 12?
Probably around the middle.
Okay, so they're not like your boogeyman.
No, they're good, but Texas has won 6 straight against Kansas State.
Okay.
And they haven't lost in Austin to Kansas State since 2011.
Okay.
Which means even Charlie Strong beat Kansas State at home. I was there. Oh. It was raining. It sucked. This game's also going to suck. Mm. Probably not going to rain. Mm. yeah, I mean, the only thing that you got is that, again, Steve Sarkisian has not lost to Kansas State, even though both years Kansas State's been better than Texas. And so there might just be a little bit of an X's and O's thing that is way over my head about how they draw up run plays, because the last 2 years they've rushed for like over 250 yards against Kansas State. So this is going to be a Jonathan Brooks legacy game. Jonathan Brooks, show me something. Let's let's get this win. Yeah, no, this game is terrifying just because of what's at stake. Basically, if Kansas State wins, Texas does not make the Big 12 title game. Given the tiebreakers and stuff, they would need Kansas State to have three Big 12 losses at the end of the season. They only have one right now. So they wouldn't have any of the important tiebreakers. Same thing with Oklahoma. So, yeah, it's all on the line, and they're starting Malik Murphy in the second game.
Did you think that they were going to drive for the game-winning touchdown or game-tying touchdown last year in that last minute? Because they forced a fumble with, what, like 30 seconds left to clinch the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel like they were going to score on that drive?
Yeah, that last game was like, I mean, that's what like every Steve Sarkisian game, Texas game was before this season, where it's like,
well, now they run away with it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but it was like the first three quarters, you're like, oh, okay, this is good. Yeah, let's keep it up. And then they give it all away. Now it is kind of like they kind of keep them close and then blow them out later. Vibes were not high. Vibes will not be high on Saturday. I still think they win.
I will take Texas to cover. 2:30 ABC. Number 9 Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, 22 in the last Bedlam game possibly ever from the sound of things. We can pick that game, Sean, or this is just weird to me. How is Missouri number 12? Missouri is number 12. They take on Georgia in Athens. Georgia now number 2. Between those two games, which game would you rather watch? Georgia seems to finally be figuring it out. I am surprised that now they've fallen out of number 1 behind Ohio State.
It's just because Ohio State has wins at Notre Dame and then against Penn State. So they have two
Fair.
Top 15 wins.
Fair.
But I think if Georgia wins this one, I think they just move to number 1.
Okay.
And then when Michigan beats Penn State next week, when they beat them next week, if they beat them, who knows, then Michigan will probably jump ahead of Ohio State too. I think this is very much a, like, based off the resumes, Ohio State's number 1. But okay. No one actually thinks they're the best team.
So we're not going to watch the Georgia game.
No.
We're going to pick we got to pick the last Bedlam game.
Yes.
This should be a night game too. I don't like that it's at 2:30. I think Bedlam's best when it's 6 o'clock or later. Oklahoma's 6-point favorites. You know what? This is Mike Gundy's Super Bowl.
Yes.
This is maybe the last important game that Mike Gundy ever coaches, if we're being honest.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I mean, am I wrong?
It's the last Bedlam game.
They might make the Big 12 title game this year. They might go to a New York 6 game this year. They might win the Big 12 going forward and make the playoff.
I don't know, man. They're 6-2, and this is the last year with Oklahoma in the conference. He went to Oklahoma State. He played quarterback there.
Yeah, no, this is all time.
This is his biggest game
Oklahoma,
ever.
Just Oklahoma State as a school, as a football program. I cannot take you seriously if you lose this game.
Yeah, Oklahoma's 6-point favorites. I'm taking the Cowboys.
You have all this hate in your heart for the bigger school in your state that always beats you.
Yeah.
All-time series, 91-19.
Gotta
win
it.
Seven ties.
Gotta win it. You gotta win it. Greg Todd said it's the biggest day of his life. It is.
It is the biggest day of his
life. Let's go, Gundy. Bring the mullet back. Get a fake one like Andre Agassi.
And if you don't win, shut it down. Just go home.
Yeah.
Like, again, 91-19, Mike Gundy is probably responsible for like 40 of them, considering he played there before he coached there.
Oh, my God.
You got to win.
I'm rubbing it in
you
now.
You have to win.
All right. That's the 2:30 game. 6:45, LSU at Alabama. Nick Saban was annoyingly complimentary of Brian Kelly in the pregame press conference.
I think that's the Belichick. I think he's doing the Belichick thing.
Based on that alone, I think Alabama wins by 30. Again, we go off vibes here, but we got a couple of good at least on paper, SEC games, both on CBS. We get the
Yeah, good game. Perfectly spread out, too, all these games. Yeah, give me Alabama, Brian Denny. Yeah. I do think LSU has a chance. I do think LSU is good this year. It's just Alabama does seem like they have it all figured out.
They do.
And maybe they're not as good as previous Bama teams, but they're number 8 in the country, and they probably would be like an actual top 5 team. You know, like the way that they're playing right now, I think they would beat basically everyone in the country.
Whenever this game is played, I root for LSU.
Same.
I've always had a little affinity for LSU. I love our friends over to the east. But yeah, I'm taking Bama here. Sunday, 8:30 in Frankfurt.
Ooh.
Dolphins, Chiefs. Chiefs 2-point favorites. Kansas City's been very underwhelming of late, and while I think there's definitely time for them to figure it out by the end of the year, the Dolphins are moving with, I think, some confidence right now. That win over the Patriots was fairly convincing and really snuffed the life out of them. Obviously, the Patriots stink, but the Patriots had just beaten Buffalo. They were riding high going into that game, and the way that Miami did it, it was essentially strangulation. So I'm taking Miami to win this one outright in Frankfurt.
Miami just hasn't beaten anyone this year. They just had, all their wins are against like the Patriots and the Cardinals and just the Broncos. They dropped 70 on them.
Broncos just beat the Chiefs.
That is true. Oh, you know what? So by proxy, they're going to drop.
They've
90.
Already won. The game's over.
They're going to drop 90 on the Chiefs in Frankfurt. No, give me the.
You're going to take the Chiefs?
Yeah, give me the Chiefs. Coming off the loss. I think if they won, this is so stupid. If the Broncos,
it's not stupid. This is how everyone thinks.
If the Chiefs beat the Broncos last week, if the Chiefs weren't coming off a loss, I'd pick the Dolphins. But I just don't think the Chiefs lose 2 in a row. It's very stupid.
Is Taylor Swift going to be in Germany?
I don't know.
I bet she is. I wonder if the international
That's
tour,
a long flight.
It is a long flight.
To support your boyfriend that you've only been dating for like a month.
I got to check what her international tour schedule is. I think she's actually overseas right now in Europe.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding on that front.
Then just take the train.
Noon, CBS, Bucks at Texans. Texans 3-point favorites. F it. They figure it out. Because they need to figure it out so that we can actually talk about them and people will engage us. Come on, baby.
Yeah, I think last week was this would be a prime spot for same old Texans. I think last week was same old Texans. I think... At home, I think at home at NRG Stadium, this team's a different team.
They are. It's football time in Houston.
Luckily, the Bucks don't have a giant fan base, so it'll be like
80% an actual home field advantage. Now the stadium won't be full, but
no, but
there
most
will be more
of the
Texas
people
fans.
There will be wearing. We'll be wearing Liberty White and
about time
deep steel blue.
It's about time. It's been, I mean. The last two games, it's been all Saints and Steelers fans.
Yes. This one, H-Town stands up.
Mm-hmm. No, and no Tom Brady either. So
no, Tom Brady ain't walking through that door.
No Brady groupies.
Todd Bowles is a bozo coach. Give me the text.
Oh, all right. I like it. All right, we got to pick one of these two games. My Philadelphia Eagles, 7-1, 3-point favorites, hosting the Dallas Cowboys, 5-2. The Cowboys have either killed teams or been killed this year.
Either be kill or be killed.
True. That's what Sean Mapes' Cowboys do.
That's what I live by.
Sunday Night Football, we could pick this game too. The Bills, 5-3 against the Bengals, 4-3, a rematch of the divisional round of the playoffs as well.
I mean, I feel like we have to do Cowboys Eagles.
We got to. We got to. That is a good Sunday night football game for a team.
That is a very good one.
Thank you.
NFL. Finally stepping it up.
They're not flexing some of these bad games out, which is an absolute joke. But I'm going to take the birds. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Something, Eagles, something. My grandfather fought in Germany. He was from Philadelphia.
Okay.
They're going to put the Cowboys in hell. Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. I-G-G-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Dak Prescott owns the Eagles.
That is true. He's, like, weirdly good against them.
He owns them. He owns them again on Sunday. Give me the Cowboys.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant, and that was your pick six.
Up next, we'll talk again about Dusty Baker seeming sensitive to a lot of Houston Astros fans. And it's time to start the countdown to the biggest day of the year, the greatest day of the Houston Astros' lives in 2024. We'll explain next.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
God loves a terrier.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We did figure out where Taylor Swift is on her international tour. The same weekend Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs are in Germany. And we're just doing this for ratings, guys. Bear with us. But she's going to be, get this, in Argentina. It's kind of funny. If you are familiar with history and where some people immigrated to Argentina from.
After World War II.
They're both blonde.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll be able to get to Germany in time, because normally the traffic goes from Germany to
one way.
Buenos Aires.
One way highway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a highway that goes underneath the ocean. They got a big old tunnel.
All right, save her for YouTube.
I'll wait.
Save the conspiracy theories for
I'll wait. Yeah, I'll save that for the Gallant Says podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, youtube.com/Paul Gallant. Hey, guys. All right. It's time to move on. You know, I know a lot of Texas Rangers fans right now, they're celebrating the championship like idiots. You got to celebrate already. You got to celebrate yesterday. But for any city who's seen its team win multiple championships, you're on to the next year 24 hours after the title has been won. And we are on to 2024. When I was growing up in Massachusetts, I used to get really angry because local Boston sports radio, the week that the Patriots were in a Super Bowl in 2001, would do this segment where they were counting down the days. Not until Red Sox pitchers and catchers reported to Fort Myers for spring training. No, they were counting down until the trucks left Boston to go to Fort Myers to bring all their gear down south. I used to get so mad about it, but you know what? Now I understand. I was living in a baseball town at the time. I am living in a baseball town now. And wouldn't you know, since report day is February 12th for the Houston Astros in spring training, guess what? We are officially 100 days away from the start of Astros spring training. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Let's get some musical ambiance to begin our countdown to the Astros' quest to avenge falling in the ALCS. Such a good song. You might recognize this as How About Them Strohs. But it's How About Them Strohs, the trumpet edition of this song. Shout out to Adam Jeans.
Trombone, by the way.
Trombone, my bad, not trumpet. I remember way back when they tried to disrespect Mattress Mack. Just such incredible lyrics. Paul Wall's maybe best work. So there actually is something noteworthy that was said as we begin our countdown to Astros spring training 2024. Did you see Dana Brown Dana Brown did an interview with KPRC, and he was asked about the priorities of the Houston Astros. This is so funny in the background. Leave it going. Leave it going, Sean. Here is Dana Brown with KPRC talking about the Astros' priorities.
Yeah, the priority right now is to take care of some of the bullpen help that we're losing. So we got to, you know, try to find that. We're going to find some bullpen help, and we can do that. You know, it may be from within, but we're going to have to replace, you know, Maton, Neris, and we also have Stanek. You know, we have to replace those kind of guys. I think the core of our bullpen is still intact. I think the rotation is still intact. I think at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have to get a backup catcher for Diaz because, you know, Diaz is going to be the main guy next year. And so, you know, we got some of our work cut out, but we have a lot of good pieces in place here, and we're still set up to win.
Got to give Dana Brown this. He is very open. Sometimes he's a tad political. It's so funny, this trombone. I'm glad I found this. Shout out to you, Adam Jeans. I hope your YouTube blows up for this. So, he said that they need bullpen help because they need to replace guys. Pretty frank to just say, we need to replace Hector Neris, Phil Maton, and Ryan Stanek. They're just letting them go.
Later, guys.
Bye. I was surprised to hear him say that the starting rotation is still intact. I think that they should be looking at alternatives. I saw a blog today suggest Dylan Cease from the Chicago White Sox. I think also, in addition to a backup catcher for Yiner Diaz, and I love how clear he was, this is definitely his day. Dusty's gone. Yiner Diaz, we need a backup catcher for Yiner Diaz. Will that catcher be Martin Maldonado? That would be an epic plot twist. I'd give Dana Brown an air high five for that.
That's not the worst thing in the world. The whole thing this year was that Yiner should play more. It's not that Martin Maldonado shouldn't be in the league. Although, there are some numbers that would suggest that he should not be in the league.
You want to say some of those numbers with a trombone and not fart noises?
Well, he's like
musically playing behind you.
Considering how many plate appearances he's had, he's like the fourth worst batter of all time or something. According to, I don't know, Ex-Woba? I don't know.
His Klongdorp.
Yeah, the Ligma index.
That's always big. You got to check the Ligma. Ligma what? You know. A couple of texts and comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. D'Amico Senko 9 says, I feel like Dana says too much. Oh, yeah, we agree. But it's fun. He's such a politician. We're going to give Altuve an extension. We're going to give Bregman an extension. And we're going to kick Neris, Maton, and Stanek to the curb. Bah! Backup catcher for Yiner Diaz. Bah! He's just like a politician.
It's very funny. It sounds just like How About Them shows.
it is. He's a good trombone player.
Yeah, I'm saying, you could not tell me what this is. I would be like, this is How About Them Strohs by Paul Wall and that other guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I just love hearing it. We're only 100 days away, guys. Someone texted in. It's
99
a leap
more
year.
Times of hearing this.
Someone texted in. It's a leap year, so it's 101 days. You're blocked. You're blocked. You're not allowed to listen to this station anymore. No, it's 100 days. Okay? We're not doing that. Leap years aren't real. Is this a leap year? No, it's not a leap year.
2024 is.
Oh. I figured it out. Guys,
why does February get the extra day? Anyway, that's not important.
Why doesn't February get more extra days is what you should be asking, Sean, you racist. That's Black History Month. It should be a longer month, as it is. Huh.
You got me. Sorry.
I did. Very serious conversation to have with the trombone, my bad, playing in the background.
Yeah, come on. Respect the brass section, all right? Is it the brass? Yeah.
I can't stop laughing with this music on. Oh, God. All right. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, aren't you glad that I'm here in Houston playing this trombone for you instead of up in New York City doing this kind of sports radio? Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Cane Powder.
All you wolves, nightmares, I'm about to come true.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
When I was but a young man, after my dreams of playing in the National Football League died far too late, I was 17 when I realized, guess it's not going to happen. When that happened, I realized I wanted to be a sports talk show host. I thought it would end up being in Boston, Massachusetts. That's where I grew up, but I took the first job that I had, and I ended up coming down to Houston. And I'm so glad I did, because now that I've left and now that I see Northeastern sports radio from the outside looking in, it's just so angry and mad. And I don't know how they find the energy to be as worked up about sports as they are. And maybe this is just because if you live in the South or in Texas, you just have many other things to do once the sports games are done. It's warmer. But these people live, breathe, and die by their sports teams. And some of them just want to be fans on the radio, but not like the fun, hey, I'd love to watch a sports game with this guy kind of fan. Like, more the person that makes you uncomfortable and kind of makes you want to leave. This is in particularly true with New York sports fans. New York sports fans think they're very smart, and yet they support teams like the Jets and the Knicks and the Mets. Unironically, like full-throated support for a team that stinks. They'll go to the games, they'll yell, they'll hoot, they'll holler. And then on the radio, after the very unsurprising happens, a New York sports team underachieves. They get all pissy. The latest example of a New York sports radio show, this is at WFAN. It's the is this their midday show? I'm not even sure. But this show on WFAN had former Giant Carl Banks on it on a weekly basis. And a show before Kayvon Thibodeau went out and had three sacks against the New York Jets, Banks came on with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata. And they were getting more and more mad at Banks for being defensive of Kayvon Thibodeau, who is a young player who has not been producing, kind of in the same way that Will Anderson has not been producing. So I suppose these guys are the Jeremy Branhams of New York sports radio. While interviewing Carl Banks, after about a seven-minute argument where they kept on talking over him, and he showed a lot of patience, they eventually hung up on him. This is how it sounded.
Just give him my opinion.
It's not,
My opinion is that he's
unhealthy to your fandom, man. It is really unhealthy to your fandom. Like, if it's not your job to find out what the kid does right,
yeah,
then it should not be your job to call him a bust.
How about this?
Because if you're going to call him, you're going to hear some more.
But pull him down. Seriously, we got to have a voice here. And I appreciate the time, Carl. Thank you. Here's the thing. Carl's supposed to be on the air and educate us.
Here's the thing. No one cares about what people like me say, right? If we're being honest, like, I at least am aware of that. Oh, wow. Two agitated New Yorkers that look like thumbs
are talking over a Giants legend.
And calling someone a bust.
When it's been what? This is his second year?
Yeah. Halfway through his second year.
By the way, he had 3 sacks in the game that he played right after that happened. So Carl Banks has just said, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't blame him. And you know what sucks about this? It's people like this. What are their names? Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata, whatever. It's guys like this who make it so hard for players to think to themselves, you know what? I'm going to give this radio show a chance. I'm going to join it and I'm going to talk with them and they're actually going to be respectful and listen to what I have to say. Banks was a great Giant for those late 80s teams. I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor, but that is a guy that Bill Belichick goes out of his way to compliment regularly after the fact as one of the key pieces of those teams that were led by Bill Parcells. And when a person like that comes on the show, you should listen to them, talking over them. You can't do that. You can disagree. And sometimes these athletes are talking out of their ass. I'm not saying you need to worship athletes here, but this show, can't get guests like this because of the Brandon Tierneys and Sal Licatas of the world. When I was at the Texans flagship, they do this stupid thing like once an hour that everyone that lives outside of the Northeast hates, where at the beginning of a commercial break, they'd have somebody from the CBS Sports Radio Network talk for 30 to 40 seconds. And this guy, Brandon Tierney, was regularly a part of it. And the thing that drove me the craziest about him was that he would say, I'm BT. And I'm like, who? What does that stand for? I have no idea who you are. I don't live in New York. I never want to live in New York. I'm BT. I don't effing care. Give me more Boomer Esiason. I'm BT. No one effing cares, dude. No one wants to hear your forced 40-second take that's taking away from the local airtime. No one wants to hear it. And this is the guy who's running off Carl Banks. And this is the guy who's getting like absolutely crazy and acting like the Jets have a chance with Zach Wilson under center. This is what New York sports radio is. It's people like that. Just either way over the top hardo fanboys that think they need to fight for the actual team or Jake Asman. So that's what you got. Anyway, this isn't the worst moment in New York sports radio of late. Here's another bad moment. This is because, remember the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, who said he was going to retire after the Diamondbacks advanced to the World Series? Well, Howard Stern had him on, and Howard Stern actually gave him an opportunity to potentially stop looking like such a jabroni for not following through and retiring. Howard Stern gave him a dare, essentially to, I guess, walk around New York City in a bikini. Guess who walked back on that one?
Mad Dog is such a coward. He talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. I think you should call him Chris Mad Fraud Russo.
So, here's the thing. He gave him an opportunity to essentially make good on his bet, which he didn't follow through on. And look, if you do some sort of on-air stunt, you got to follow through if you lose. I was, right after I got bumped up 2 mornings at the flagship, I was going to shave my head if the Warriors lost to the Rockets in the 2018 Western Conference Finals. Like, that was on the table. Did it affect my rooting interest at all? I'm not going to lie, a little bit. It did. It did a little bit. But I was going to do it. You make a bet like that on the air, you got to do it. And to not once, but twice say, yeah, I'm just not going to do it, you can't show your face anymore. And this is New York sports radio, the toughest, the baddest, the hardest, the effing worst.
Yeah, Chris Russo, it's very easy. Just retire for a week, come back, say you retired. Like, go on vacation. Who cares? You're Chris Russo. Like, who actually cares? Second, New York sports radio, soft, cowards. Houston sports radio ran off Hall of Fame manager Dusty Baker. Just saying. Who's the real tough town, you know?
That's true. That's
the media true. Here doesn't take bleep from nobody.
Media one, World Series winning manager, zero.
Well, also one.
He actually had one. Yeah,
it's 1-1.
1-1. Anyway, guys, let's get to wrap it up. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in today. Hope you guys have an awesome weekend. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our callers, our texters, and our tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Connor and Beard, Joe George in for Josh Beard, is up next. See ya!
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.